Amen. Boy, those good old songs. What a blessing. I tell you, it's just a good way to start things. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And we are on lesson four. We will finish lesson four. We should finish. I can't imagine not finishing unless I really get sidetracked, which there are a lot of sidetracks out there. But lesson four, the assignment is revealed, and we have lesson five available. That is, the application is revealed. If you need lesson four or five, raise your hand, please. Lesson four or five. If you need that, raise your hand. Wow, good to see Brother Bennett, and I assume his lovely wife. Good to have them back from down south, and praise the Lord. A lot of positive things about the folks coming from the south, and one of the positive things, obviously, we're glad to see them back home again, but also it's a sign that our couple of months of warm weather is approaching. And we'll get a couple of months of nice weather, and then it'll be back for another 10 months or so of snow and ice. No, I'm just kidding. It isn't that bad, really. But praise the Lord. All right. Brother Collins, do you have something there? What is it? Anybody need lesson four? All right. Brother Korea needs lesson four. Anyone else? Do you need lesson five also? All right, you have that. The Bowmans need lesson four as well. You need lesson five? All right, very well. That is good. All right, so the assignment is revealed. We should finish up lesson four. Let's look at our memory verse, Revelation 1 and verse 19. And that goes along with lesson four, Revelation 1 and verse 19. Let's say that together. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and then the reference. And begin. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. And again, Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time now, that it'll be profitable as we study your word. I pray that you'll reveal to us those things that'll help us. It always amazes me, Father, how there are folks here that need comfort, and you'll give that through your word. There are folks that need some doctrine today, and you'll give that through your word. There are folks that need reproof, and you'll give that through thy word today. And whatever our needs today, Lord, help us to look at the word of God. And God, you speak to us as you see fit. Please guide us into the truth of the Scripture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The assignment is revealed. And we're seeing Roman numeral 1 to see what God reveals to him, talking about John. Number 2, to script what he sees. In other words, he's supposed to see these things God shows to him. And again, I do want to just sort of jump in here and remind you, God has a whole lot of things for you and I to see as well. Let me remind you that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. How you doing today? Amen. How are we? You know, what, are you ready for God to show you something? Are you ready for God to teach you? Are you ready for God to guide you to that next step of growth that you need to take? Are you ready to see what God has for you to see? How about tomorrow? Will you be ready? Oh, preacher, it's a Monday. I can't possibly be. How about tomorrow? Are you ready for God to show you what he wants to show you, teach you what he wants to teach you? You know, John had to see what God was revealing to him. I'm afraid that many times we miss out on what God has for us to see because whatever, we're not in the Spirit. Instead, we're in the flesh. And, of course, that's, again, one of those areas that we've already dealt with, and I'm going to move on. Then, number 2, the assignment. Was to script what he sees. God told him very clearly, all right, now you've seen it, verse 11, what thou seest, write in a book. He was told and commanded to write it in a book. And so whatever you see, write in a book. And of course, we've talked about the scripture, talked about how we got the word of God and have been doing that quite often. There we dealt with First of all, we dealt with the command to write in a book, and then the contents, the past, the present, and the future. Don't want to go through all that again. But just again, God's Word deals with everything. It deals with the past. It deals with the present. It deals with the future of every one of our lives. Past, present, future. What a joy this past week to start off last Sunday in the book of Genesis, to read as a congregation Genesis chapter 1. And then every 15 minutes, half hour, every hour, just different times of the day, folks would come in and take that Bible, and they would read. We had folks that are over 50. We had folks that are under 50. We had kindergartners. We had sixth graders. We had a whole bunch of teenagers. And everyone either stood over there, maybe stood here. Some sat in a chair. And they just kept reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and went on and read. Brother Barry Nixon Sr. was reading Leviticus on Sunday night while I was preaching, during the master clubs, and he said I was getting so excited about what God was telling me out of Leviticus on Sunday night. Brother Varnum, I believe, was reading while I was preaching, and it seems like he said I didn't pay attention to anything you said, and of course he never does, but no, he does. But what a blessing, you know, and we just kept reading and just kept reading, kept reading, kept reading. You know why? Because the Bible is for all of us. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the assistant. It's not just for the teacher. It's for every person. And it was so exciting to watch every kind of person in our church come in and spend a little time reading the Word of God. It is a past, present, future book. It is for us. And please, whatever you do, don't let anybody tell you, you know, you can't understand it, you just can't get it, you just can't, it's too hard, you know, and all this stuff. Fooey on that stuff. And we had children excited. I had teenagers talking about how the time went so fast. And I think a lot of that was because they were standing up while they read. And we had one teenager, somebody was a little bit late. And actually, they were not only late, they didn't show up. And it was a total accident, but that teenager went ahead and noticed no one was here and just kept reading for another 45 minutes. And that's good stuff, you know. They need to learn that that's what the Bible's for. It's for us. And I hope you'll get that from this. And we've spent a lot of time talking about it, of course, recognizing the anniversary of the King James Bible. And then we came to Roman numeral 3 last week and just started to send what he scripts. In other words, he was to see it, and God wanted him to script it, to write it down, and then he was to send what he wrote down. He was to send that. Verse 11, it says, "What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches." And we're going to deal with those seven churches as we deal with chapters 2 and 3. But again, we're finishing off chapter 1, and I do want to remind you that chapter 1, we have gone all over chapter 1. We did not take it, you know, starting with verse 1 and going all the way through. We've been going all around because, again, that's kind of the way I studied it. So again, we come to this idea that he now is to send that which he wrote down. It is up to him now to pass that on. Again, could I remind you that it is up to us to pass it on. We get the benefit of the Word of God. Now we are to share that with other people. We're to give that out to other folks. We're to give it out in soul winning. We're to give it out in comfort. We're to give it out. I mean, whatever God's Word has been to you and I, wouldn't it make sense? It would be that to those that we work with, our neighbors. You know, had a lady just yesterday that saw me and recognized me from a funeral, and just thanked me for the funeral and everything, but was having a hard time. It was so good to be able to share the Word of God, because if the Word of God gives me comfort, why can't it give her comfort? Amen? If it gives you comfort, why wouldn't it be able to give somebody else comfort? If it gave you counsel, why wouldn't you use it to give other people counsel? And so on and so forth. And so we talked about each church getting each church's letter, and because it's all going to be in the book. And that's kind of an interesting thing, too. So whatever applies to the church at Ephesus, the folks in Smyrna are going to be able to get something out of it too. Amen. Whatever applies to the folks in Thyatira, well, the people in Sardis are going to be able to get something out of that too. Whatever applies in the Korea's life, the carpenters can get something out of that too. And let's be honest, folks. I taught on that in the last between Sunday and Wednesday, talking about the Word of God and everything. Understand that what is in the Word of God today, it's always true. It never changes. It's always perfect. But you might not need that particular truth in that verse today, but God has something for you today. And you may not need it today, or you may not even be able to grasp it today, because you have to grow in the Lord to be able to understand it. But I got news for you. You're going to need it tomorrow. There's going to be some time that is going to be something that is going to help you. And that's why we can read over and over and over and over and over and over the Word of God. And we can get something. We can say, wow, I read that verse. I don't know how many times I've read that verse. I never saw that before. You ever experienced that? Why didn't I ever see that before? By the way, that's how preachers just always have material to preach on. Amen? I mean, there's always something to preach on, because God is always showing you. Again, it's not anything new He's showing us. It was always there. It's just new to me. And what a blessing that is. So, again, these letters to these churches, they contain commendation, rebuke, promise, warning, comfort, all these things. And whatever is for Pergamos, Thyatira, they're going to use that too, because it's written in a book. Aren't you glad? Praise God, it's in a book. And you know, I might look at what God is saying to the church at Ephesus, and I might look at that. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars. And I might look at that and say, you know, I'm not sure I can get anything out of that right now. That's good, and I understand that. And he tells them, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. And I might look at that and say, you know, I'm going to pray for these folks. I'm going to pray for those folks that, you know, they used to be on fire for God. I'm going to pray for folks that used to be excited about the things of God. And it seems like they've fallen, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to ask God to help them. And right now that doesn't apply, but then comes that time when maybe I get a little bit away from God. And I'm the one that's not doing the first works anymore. And all of a sudden, that same word of God is, wow, now it's knocking on my door. Amen. Now God's dealing with me about it. And so it's all for us. Don't ever get the idea that something in the, oh, that's for them. Oh, that, you know, somebody said, you preach a lot out of the Old Testament. You know, we're not Jews. But I got news for you. It's all God's word, and it's for us. And we can learn so much, so much. And so I just, again, specific, and it was so specific to the churches, but it was also for everybody, and it's for us as well. So 2 points under this to send what he scripts, capital A, is see and seal. We're just going to talk a little bit about, go back into the Old Testament, see and seal. And I've got, you know, there are a lot of directions to go, but I just want to show you some things. Isaiah 8 and verse 16, look at it real quick. Isaiah 8 and verse 16. Isaiah 8, 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. So here, you know, God's word says, okay, you see it, but I want you to seal it. It's not time. And God did that in Isaiah. Notice, look at Matthew 11, verse 25. Matthew 11 and verse 25. And I'm skipping a couple things just to kind of move right on here. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Sometimes God said, see it and seal it. But notice verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Understand, God, whatever is revealed to us is revealed to us according to God's timing and according to God's plan. You know, God's revelation, I spoke about that last Sunday night. And here in the Old Testament, there were things that the prophets saw, but they were told to seal. And it wasn't going to be revealed, or that particular truth would not be revealed. And a good example of that is Daniel. Look at Daniel 8, verse 26, which we studied the book of Daniel. And, again, Daniel saw a lot of things, but Daniel did not understand all those things. And God just said, seal those things. Daniel 8 and verse 26. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days afterward. I rose up, did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. And God had already told us, seal it up, seal it up. Daniel saw it and shut up the vision for many days. Daniel 12, verse 4. Daniel 12 and verse 4. Why? Because it was not time. I'm amazed how we have this idea that God has to be on our timetable. That is so ridiculous. God, who is omnipotent, you know, he is God. God, who has always been. Since when do we dictate to God when everything is supposed to happen? God has a perfect timetable for everything that he does. Daniel 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And he says to Daniel, Daniel wants to know, what shall be the end of these things? I've seen these things, and when's this going to happen? What's going to happen? Tell me. And God just says, Daniel, you got work to do. Do your work now. Amen. Seal these things up. One of these days, they will be revealed. Go thy way, Daniel. You've done your part. You saw it. You sealed it. Now, but John's going to see things. He's going to see it. He's not going to seal it. He's going to send it. Amen. John's going to see it, and he's going to send it. And Revelation 22, verse 10, kind of reemphasizes that. Revelation 22, 10, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why? For the time is at hand. There's a big difference. It's time. You know, I want people to be able to see this. I want them to be able to read this. I'm giving my words so man can read my words. Man's never done real well with God's word. You know that, don't you? Man didn't do too well with the spoken word. Man crucified the living word. And so God says, I'll give you the written word. And we haven't done real well with that. That's why really last week was such a blessing to me. We need to get back to the written word of God and reading the word of God. Because God said, unseal it, I want them to read it. I want my people to be able to read my word. And so to John, the message is, don't seal it, send it. You know, let's not get the idea that we're supposed to take everything we know and seal it up. You know, oh, I better hold on to this. This is a secret. God doesn't want it to be a secret. There's nothing in the scripture now that you know, we are to preach it, we are to teach it, we are to tell it, we are to testify about it. The word of God, God has written it, God has made it clear that it is to be sent out. And the key to all that, the time is at hand. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. The key, the time is at hand. I want to show you something because, again, people say, where is the promise of his coming? Okay? Why hasn't he come? He said he was going to come. Folks, we need to understand something. It hasn't even been 2 days since Jesus' ascension. You say it hadn't been 2 days. Yeah. Look, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. I mean, we're all in a big hurry. Praise the Lord. I thought sure the other night when we were closing out Revelation, I thought Jesus was going to come. I thought the rapture was going to take place right while we were reading. Wouldn't that have been good? Oh, my, oh, my. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant. But beloved, be not ignorant. But beloved, be not ignorant. That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? Amen. You say, I want to know what's going on. Read the Word of God. Stay off the cell phone. Stay off the chat rooms. Stay off the Facebook or whatever it's called. And read the Word of God. You'll find out what's going on. It'll be the truth. Man, that's good. That just hit me, Brother Hawkins. That's what happens. That's why I don't get through everything. It just hits, you know. Be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, if God says, be not ignorant of this one thing, doesn't that mean that we should be able to understand what He's saying? So if we're not supposed to be ignorant, we're supposed to be intelligent about it, okay? So that means He's going to spell it out for us to understand. Here's what He says. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Then, for those who are really struggle with deep King James verbiage, He goes ahead and says it the other way around, okay? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And He says this for those who maybe didn't make it through third grade. And He says 1,000 years as one day. What's that mean? That means that 1,000 years equals one day, or one day equals 1,000 years. You say, I got the first part, but I didn't get the second part. Isn't that wonderful that you got the second part? Forget the first part. If you got the second part, that's good. It's Mother's Day. Amen. Now, what's that mean? One equals 1,000. Okay? Amen? Okay. So in God's clock, all right, God's clock up here, he has one day, whatever period, one day, and his clock, it had to be awful big because each little mark, perhaps, is a year, and there's 1,000 of them. All right? Is everybody together on this thing? All right. So now again, we don't think that way because to us, one day is 24 hours. But to God, one day is 1,000 years. You say, well, you know, what's it say in the Greek? Well, it says one day is 1,000 years. Okay? So one day to God is 1,000 years. So after 1,000 years took place, okay, then to God that was a day. Isn't that amazing to think about? It really is amazing to me. So do you understand that since the ascension of Christ, it has not even been 2 days yet? Because 2 days would be what, class? 2,000 years. Hadn't even been that yet. We're good, aren't we? Okay, but they say May 21st of this year, everything's going to happen. We have several graduation open houses. We have, I need to get away from all that. All right, so anyway, now, what's that mean? That means, look, listen, God's timing. It's all up to God's timing. I'm amazed, you know, theologians and people that say they study the Bible and they cannot grasp that God's God. And God will show us what He wants to show us when He wants to show it to us. And He will give us His Word when He wants to give us His Word, which He has done now. And when He says it's done and you have it, then we have it. And we want to try to, yeah, I don't know if that's what God meant. God says what God means. Always. And so, what does John, okay, John, whatever you see, write in a book and send that book. Amen. I like that. I like it because it's send it unto the seven churches. Now, if you got a little map out, you would see that it is interesting where the Isle of Patmos, and it's interesting the order that is given in verse 11. Again, I'm not going to make a lot out of that order, but it is interesting that you go from the Isle of Patmos, and the closest area would be Ephesus, and then it kind of goes around in a circle. And as far as the listing here, and just an interesting little tidbit. Again, I'm not trying to make anything out of it, except that God knows geography, amen, and God knows timing, and God knows all of that. So there is a book that John wrote. The words were God-breathed, amen? Done. We understand that. And that book is to be sent. Now, I do not know, and I know, you know, there's commentators and there's all kinds of people, they've got ideas and different things like that. But eventually understand that from that book, there were copies made and there were translations made and all of that. But understand that that book, those words, were given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Somebody says this, they say, so those, that book, that's the originals, right? Well, you could say it's the originals, but in reality, the originals were in heaven and have always been. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, Psalm 119, verse 89. But they are original as God breathed them to John, and then it's up to him to pass it on and on. You say, well, what happens with all those copies? And we did deal with this Sunday night in our church service. If you missed that, you might want to get that on the internet. But you know, God preserves His Word, and we gave the illustration. I should have done it. I wish I would have done it now. We had so much going on Sunday night. I'm still amazed that we got through Sunday night and I didn't forget anything. I'm getting where I forget yesterday pretty fast. You know what I'm talking to? Anybody know what I mean? You see, yeah, I forgot breakfast. Okay, well, anyway, but I, you know, the idea of giving, if I gave some words to somebody here in the front, and then they whispered it, and they whispered it, and 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 it went all the way to the back. Do you know how many times it would change? By the time you asked the people in the back what was said in the front, it'd be a totally different sentence. We know that. I mean, if you've ever done that, that's kind of a game I remember playing as a child. I don't know what, I think they called it gossip. By the way, that is what gossip is. But by the time it's up here, it may have been true, but by the time it gets way back there, it's not even close. It's totally a different story. But that's because it involves man. Okay, man makes mistakes. Okay, if I were to, you were to write something and I were to copy it by hand, I'd probably mess it up. More than likely, I would. Now I understand we have copy machines and scanners and all those kind of things now. And bless God, there are no mistakes there. But you must have better copy machines and scanners than we deal with here, because every now and then we have some weird stuff take place. You know, but anyway, but I'm just saying this: where man gets involved. Okay, that is in the copy process. By the way, the translation process, that's a whole different story. When you start translating into another language, okay, that's a whole different story. But that's man. And man, yeah, we fail, don't we? I mean, we fail in everything. We do. Can we do it perfect? No, we can't. But there is one who said he would preserve his word so that I'd have his word. And that is what we trust in. That is what we believe. That is what we know. When I stand up to preach from my King James Bible, I know that I'm preaching from God's Word. I have no question about that. God preserved His Word for me. Now, you say there's all these versions out there and so many different versions and all that. And you know, you do have to obviously look at some very important things about all of that, but the truth is, it's not as difficult as we make it seem. And first, you have to start with this. You have to start with, if they're not the same, they're different. All right, I'm going to have to help some of those that had to capture that last one, the second part. If they're different, they're not the same. Oh, I got that. I didn't get the first thing you said, but I got that. Good, good. Because if it's not the same, then it's different. And see, and here's what's happening today in our world. In our world today, we have all these different versions. By the way, we've already had lots and lots of other English versions that have passed off the scene. They're gone. They're not in publication anymore. Okay? And but here's what we have. We have a group of people today that say that, well, I think God's word is in all of them. Now, you know, that's a real problem. So that would make God schizophrenic. Okay? God is God. Now, here's the thing. You know, you say, well, I haven't studied Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and you don't have to. I'm not saying you know, it wouldn't be good for you. I'm just saying you don't have to. What you have to do is you have to come to a conclusion that if they're not the same, they're different, and they can't all be the same, because they're not. Well, they just change a few words. No, 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 no. By the way, so did the devil. Go. All you have to do is start in Genesis. Yea, hath God said. What was he dealing with? He was challenging what God said. And he was twisting what God said. He was changing what God said. Now, either we have it or we don't. Okay, if your King James Bible is not the Word of God, and you know what's amazing? It's amazing that people want to say, well, the NIV compares with the King James pretty good. Well, if it compares pretty good, why even have it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Anyway, this is why I don't finish, and it's your fault. It's not my fault. But let's have the ushers come on this, all right? And we'll listen. Here's the thing. Okay, now you start dealing with all these languages. What are we going to do? Well, I mean, we have all these languages. All these people speak different languages. There is a God in heaven who said he would preserve his word. Okay, I don't have to worry about whether he's going to preserve his word for me or not. He said he would. By the way, if I have to worry about whether he's going to preserve his word or not, then don't I have to worry about everything? Didn't he tell me be careful for nothing? Don't I have to worry now about my salvation? By the way, if all of them are God's word and they don't say the same thing, then what's true? Could we possibly know? I had somebody tell me, well, I can see how to be saved in the King James Bible, but I can see how to be saved in the NIV too. And I just looked at him and said, how do you know what saved is? Well, because I got saved. I said, really? And how'd you get saved? Well, somebody showed me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I got saved and I said, okay. So that's how you know, and you get that from what? The King James Bible? Yeah. So I know how to be saved, and I understand salvation. So if one of these other versions shows me how to be saved, that makes it all right. I said, no, it doesn't make it all right, because if you dig into it deeper, for example, a virgin is not the same as a young woman.
That's right.
Or a maiden, however you want to put it. And I said, if you saw how to get saved and you saw that in your King James Bible, why not just stick with it? Why do you need anything else? You know, well, I don't understand. You understood how to be saved. I submit to you that you will understand as you grow in the Lord, and it just becomes so clear. Even to my glaucoma-infested eyes, it becomes so clear what God is saying in His Word. You know what's so good? It's so good you can't outgrow it. You can be saved years and years and study every day of your life for years and years, and you can search the Scriptures daily, and you can do it every day. And you know what? You'll never outgrow it, because the mind of God is he reveals it in the Word of God. And there's always something for you to learn. Anyway, I did finish. So we are finished with this lesson. But again, understand, I missed some things here. You know, God preserved His Word for every language. It's preserved. Remember this. We didn't just come up with God's Word. Okay, man didn't just figure it out. Oh, look what we found. No. God revealed it. He chose to give it to man. And he spoke. His words are breathed from God to the 40-some authors of the Scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible. And those are, you know, that's what God gave. And then man took it and man copied it, man translated. By the way, a copyist was very, very serious. A copyist, if you were to study that, you'd be amazed what all they went through in copying the Word of God. Again, we're talking about before copy machines and all that. They were very, very serious. But here's the thing I want to leave with you on this, and this idea of seeing and sending it off. A copyist, though he is very, very serious about copying things just right, and I believe many of the translations, they were very, very serious about getting it right. But understand this, no man is anywhere near as serious as God. Not even close. You know, if a copyist is about to make a mistake and it's going to be a crucial mistake or something like that, don't you think God can smack him and wake him up, you know? You know, and hey, don't put that down. Don't. God preserves His Word for us. And anyway, that ends lesson number 4. But let's not get hung up on the sending of it, because I'd hate for us to seal it when we're supposed to send it. Amen? How sad that a Christian would have all this truth in them and then they'd seal it up. What are you waiting on? Huh?
Well, I'm just still waiting till I feel like it.
You're headed for a rocky road on that. You may never feel like it. Anyway. All right, we move on to lesson 5. The application is revealed, and we will go there starting next week. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we have it. And Lord, help us to send it. Pass it on to everybody that we know. And I pray that we will be faithful to study it, but that we'll not keep what we've studied, that we'll pass it on. I pray that you'll bless our morning service, speak to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.